I'm Caitlin Matson, and this is The Green Room. Maestro Daniel Heggie from the Wichita Symphony Orchestra joins me. They are preparing for their final Masterworks concert of their 80th season and
Yes.
ending with a bang.
Yes. It's great to be here with you again, Caitlin, and greetings to everyone out there listening. This is going to be a very exciting finale to our Masterworks season for our 80th season, as you just mentioned. I can't think of a better way to close the season than with Beethoven's Symphony Number 9, his final symphony that he completed, and the Ode to Joy.
Yes, the Ode to Joy, certainly the most popular part of that symphony. Everybody knows it. Everybody perks up when they hear it. And I think everybody loves it. However, the entire work is gorgeous. And I think it's a treat to be exposed to the first part of the symphony as well.
It's true. I think that the full appreciation of the Ode to Joy section that's in the fourth movement of the symphony, it's fully appreciated when one can sit through the first three movements, and hear how Beethoven moves the theme from the very opening, which basically starts off in the ether, almost like a primordial moment in existence where there's only just open fifths and just kind of like a mist. You can almost imagine that it's the beginnings of something that's going to be very profound. And then the theme presents itself in a very powerful D minor arpeggio, which becomes thematic for the piece. But he's basically working through these ideas of tumult and joy, happiness, sorrow. All of the emotions that go through the first three movements, because we have that first very profound movement. The second movement is a scherzo movement, which is just a very fast, driving, and rather dark scherzo. It does have its humorous moments and lighter moments, but then we go to kind of the emotional centerpiece in the third movement, which is a slow, beautiful movement based on variation technique. And then we go to the fourth movement, which is what everyone has kind of been waiting for. And that's where Beethoven really bent a lot of the kind of rules or expectations of the time by having a chorus with a symphony for the very first time and a very large orchestra as well. So it's a revolutionary piece in many ways, not least of which the theme that he took from Friedrich Schiller's poem, Ode to Joy. Friedrich Schiller wrote that in 1785. And so Beethoven was only 15 years old when it came out, but he was already impassioned by reading that. And scholars say that he was already starting to work on the theme for what became the Ninth Symphony. And of course, this is written in 1822 to 1824. So look at all those years that went by from the time that Beethoven first read it from 1785 up to that time. And even working with a theme that is probably gestating in him for about 30 years. When we hear how straightforward the theme of the Ode to Joy is, we think, oh, he must have just thought that up and wrote it down. It seems like that. But that is something that he was building upon for many, many years. And there's hardly any work I can think of that would be more celebratory than this piece.
Oh, it sure is. I can remember the first time I saw it in person or heard it in person in its entirety. Somehow, in my mind, I assumed that this Ode to Joy theme was going to be maybe a full 15 minutes long, or maybe the chorus sang different verses of it, like the hymnal growing up, in my Methodist hymn book. But the way that Beethoven takes this one theme and twists it around and does the most shocking things with the chorus and the soloists, and it just keeps building and changing into just this joyful fervor at the end. That Ode to Joy theme is there, but it's not 20 straight minutes of just
No.
that theme.
No, I think Beethoven is truly exploring the human psyche and humanity in general to uncover what it is to be human. So we hear kind of we hear tumultuous moments, we hear moments that are at rest, we hear moments that are full of struggle, and he's able to bring that theme about in all these different guises. In a way that really represents a human spirit, because we're not just happy and filled with joy every minute of our day. And so he's really showing how we get to there. It's really a journey over time to get to this victory. where it's proclaimed in the fourth movement.
Beethoven's Ninth is this Saturday, April the 12th at 7:30 in Century 2 Concert Hall. You can go to wichitasymphony.org for information and ticket information. And I do hear tickets are selling out quickly, so hop online or call their box office 316-267-7658. Our bass soloist that we get to hear this weekend with the Wichita Symphony is Alan Held.
That's right. Alan Held is in demand as a singer all around the globe. Sings Wagner, Verdi, you name it, with the biggest opera houses. And we've been fortunate to work with Alan over the past few years. Well, since I've been here and since he's been at Wichita State. So he's a delight to work with. I've worked with him a number of times, and he will be anchoring us as the quartet. And actually, the whole quartet has connections to Wichita State University because Christina Castaldi is our soprano. She's on the faculty there.
Yes.
Hillary Taylor is our mezzo, and she's also on the faculty. Cole McQuilquam was a recent graduate of the program there in master's degree and has gone out and has been lighting the world on fire with his vocalizations. And we're so excited to have him back to sing tenor, of course, Alan Held. And Ryan Beacon is the director of the Wichita Symphony Orchestra Chorus, and he's getting them whipped into shape. So we're just very excited to have all of these singers coming together to proclaim this wonderful message of unity.
Yes, what an exciting evening. And it starts with a work by Valerie Coleman. And that's a familiar name. She's been performed by the Wichita Symphony before.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about this piece that you chose?
Sure. Well, first of all, Valerie Coleman is one of the most exciting new voices in orchestral composition. She has been around for a while. I mean, she's a virtuoso flutist who played in the Imani Winds, and she was also composing at the time. But we did do 7 o'clock shout of hers, which was a piece that was written during the COVID times. This particular piece actually had its beginnings as a piece for women's chorus. And I just want to talk about the title for a moment. Umoja is a Swahili word for unity. And it's also the first principle of the African diaspora holiday Kwanzaa. So there are deep cultural roots that she's calling upon with this piece. But I think the theme of unity, Umoja, which is what it means literally, and Beethoven's Ninth is a fantastic pairing. Her work is about 12 minutes long, so it's a nice opener for doing the Beethoven Nine. It, like I said, it started its life as a short work for a women's chorus, but then she wrote it for her woodwind quintet, the Imani Winds.
Yeah.
And then about 2 decades later, she wrote it for full orchestra, and the Philadelphia Orchestra premiered it in September of 2019. So it's only about 6 years old. It's not quite wet ink still, but it's quite new. And I think its message is loud and clear. You know, there's the beautiful theme in there, very tonal. And then it goes through all of these difficult moments, sometimes where there's clashing of rhythms and harmonies. And then it unites again to the end with a beautiful melody and everyone joining in. So it ends with consonants and victory for everyone. And it's very similar to Beethoven's structure of the Ninth Symphony, but on a much smaller scale of only about 12 minutes long. So I think it's just a perfect kind of pairing to have these two pieces side by side.
Sounds like a great pairing. Beethoven, by the time he composed his Ninth Symphony, had he lost his hearing
Yes.
completely?
Yeah. So we have to remember Beethoven was not born deaf. He started to become deaf in his 20s, and he was full of despair about that. You can read that in his 1802 Heiligenstadt Testament, which was written when he was 32 years old, almost a suicide note about being in such a depression about his deafness. And it just got worse and worse and worse. By the time we get to his Ninth Symphony, he is completely deaf. And all the music that he can hear is just in his mind. And he's able to write this incredible work of art. And of course, the story goes that he was at that premiere on May 7th of 1824 and didn't hear the audience clapping and had to be turned around by one of the singers so he could see that everyone was applauding him. So it's quite a story, and it's even more amazing because Beethoven had the kind of personality that treated every work of art that he was composing as though he were climbing Mount Everest. You know, he struggled with every single piece to make sure that it would be in its most perfect form. So to have that personality inherently and then also be going deaf, completely deaf, I think just made the obstacles too steep for just about anybody except for Beethoven to get through this and write such a miraculous work of art.
Seeing and experiencing Beethoven's Ninth Symphony in person truly is almost a life-altering occasion. And anybody who has not had the opportunity to experience it in person, you have one this weekend with the Wichita Symphony Orchestra. This concert is Saturday, April the 12th at 7:30 in Century 2 Concert Hall. You can go to wichitasymphony.org for more information. There is a concert talk 1 hour before, so at 6:30, you can come early and learn even more and kind of do even a deeper dive into the music at 6:30.
And Caitlin will be hosting that, and she does a fantastic job every time. So
Oh,
you don't
thank
miss
you.
that.
I can't wait for this weekend for my own selfish reasons. Just give me some more Beethoven. I can't wait. It'll be so great. And congratulations on your 80th season. Let's just take a few seconds and look past this weekend. You have Symphony in the Gardens, which is your a tradition now at Botanica.
At Botanica in May, mid-May. You can just go to our website and see that Friday night. It's going to be wonderful because we're going to have chamber music throughout the gardens and it's very beautiful there and they'll have new displays. And then it culminates with an orchestra performance at about 9 o'clock when it's dark. And we just want to expect the most beautiful, perfect weather, of course.
Yes.
And you'll hear these wonderful chestnuts, short classical pieces, and some film works as well. So it's a great, great evening, and you don't want to miss that.
Thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about this weekend. Everyone, again, the next Wichita Symphony Orchestra concert is this Saturday at 7:30 in Century 2. They are performing Beethoven's Ninth. Have a great concert.
Thank you so much, Caitlin. And thank you to everyone. I hope to see you at the concert.